Yes, it did.
All right. Thank you, Al, Shati, and all you guys who have gathered here together on this wonderfully warm evening. What a blessing. George said if I wouldn't have shown up, he was going to share. So God would have had it covered anyway, right? No worries about that. But Al, Shati, thank you guys for asking me to share. Vicki and I will be sharing as well on Sunday morning, so we're looking forward to that. Like you said, Bob sends his love and blessings, probably listening even as we speak. So God bless you, and God bless all the rest of you out there. Come to find out that your mom lives in Oklahoma?
She was born there.
Born there?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. So there's a connection. Al lived there at one point in time, right?
I tried it.
Yeah, you tried it. Okay. Only the strong survive. So funny. Yes, ma'am. Did it work? Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Well, if you take your Bibles, we're going to start in Acts chapter 16 tonight. But the thing I'm going to be sharing on, and actually there's, as you all know, there's a lot of things in our lives that are going on, a lot of choices that we have to make from day to day. A lot of distractions, a lot of conversations, a lot of unexpected circumstances and situations. There's a lot of things to do in life, and sometimes, like I said, we're distracted and not knowing exactly what is the right thing to do. Have you ever faced that? I mean, you face that multiple times probably throughout the course of the day, right? Maybe you're doing something, you feel like, is this the right thing for me to really be doing? So I thought tonight maybe I'd share a little bit about one right thing we can always, always do. And that's why I wanted to start in Acts chapter 16, because this can happen anywhere, any place, any time. And I think a great testimony is in Acts chapter 16, because we've been so blessed, right? Love that song you guys played. If you want to get up and start doing a little dancing, right? Huh? Well, Acts chapter 16. Let's start in verse 16. There's quite a bit of history going on here. Anyway, it says, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Now, that's quite a statement there, isn't it? Who's got a different translation? Anybody? What is divination? Fortune telling. Yeah, and what is soothsaying? Anybody else got, what does yours say there? What? What does yours say, Leslie, beyond fortune telling? In that same verse.
No, that's the end of the verse.
Okay, all right. So
the spirit,
okay, there you go. Well, the spirit was the one, and then the fortune-telling was the manifestation of that particular spirit. But somebody was getting a lot of money out of this, right? Mm-hmm. And they were not too pleased with what happened here. So verse 17 said, the same followed Paul and us and cried, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And I'm not sure they said it exactly like that. See, she was pestering them. She was following them around. They were trying to teach and preach. These men are the Most High. They're the ones who show unto us the way of salvation. You know, you can just imagine. Somehow it was very irritating. But by revelation, Paul, operating the manifestation of discerning his spirits, right, which is one of the nine manifestations. Not only can you tell about the presence of devil spirits, but you can also tell about the presence of Holy Spirit. Whether somebody that's coming towards you in the grocery store, at Kohl's, or wherever you may be, they could be born again. And God, by revelation, is showing you they've got the Spirit of God within them. In this situation, God gave to Paul the wisdom, the knowledge, after a period of time, and Paul, it says, verse 18, Paul being grieved, he turned and he said to the woman, did he say to the woman?
No,
it says he said to the what? The Spirit. He spoke directly to the Spirit, looked just like her. She was the physical form, but he spoke to the Spirit presence that was resident within her at that moment. And he said some simple words. I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same moment. It wasn't like he had to go through some exorcism that took forever and ever and ever. He just turned, he spoke, he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out. And a lot of times this is exactly the way Jesus spoke to spirits. This is the way he healed people. He just said, here, see. He didn't like have to go through a lot of religious rituals. The Spirit of God rose up in him. He just spoke it forth boldly. Well, verse 19, when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas, and they drew them into the marketplace, into the rulers, and they brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men are Jews, they are troublemakers. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them. The magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid how many? Many stripes upon them. Stripes are probably not pleasant, right? What is a stripe? It's being beat with what? Whips. Whips. You're being whipped. That probably means there could have been blood involved. There could have been injury, wounds, this sort of thing. So they laid many stripes upon them. And then, to make it even better, they cast them into prison, telling the jailer, keep your eyes on these guys. They are trouble. Who, having received such a charge, he thrusts them into the inner prison, which somehow is more harsh than the outer prison, I guess. It's the dungeon, right? It's like the lower depths. And on top of that, he made their feet fast in the stocks. That means that they, you've seen those pictures where they enclose people's feet in these wooden things so you can't really move. But a very cool thing happened, and this is really what I want to focus in on tonight, the one right thing that can always be done, right? They had every opportunity, bummed out, depressed, ticked off, start complaining, everything else, looking at the circumstances, looking at the situations, but this is what they chose to do. This is what God worked in their heart and life to do. And it says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and they sang what? Praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. Boy, there's a lot of things they could have done. You know what? They sang praises to God. Circumstances, were they working in their favor? Absolutely not. Do circumstances always work in our favor? Absolutely not. But do we allow those circumstances and those problems to get in between us and our Father God? If we do, we will be consumed by those problems because they have a tendency to get in our way of seeing a heavenly reality, the supernatural power and strength and might of Almighty God who created this universe in which we live, right? Nothing is impossible for God except to lie, right? God cannot lie. Cannot lie. See. Anywhere, any place, any time. You know one right thing you can always do? Praise. Praise is an exemplary action of your love for the Father. You know what? I don't care what is happening in your life. You could be laying on your deathbed. You can still praise God at that point in time. And you know what? Praise isn't necessarily, it is certainly part of speaking in tongues. That is what we have learned to be in John 4 and other places, perfect prayer, perfect praise. But do you think there are other ways to praise God? Absolutely. Absolutely. We praise God by music. We praise God by our words. We praise God by our lifestyle. Our lives are the testimony to the goodness of God. See? When people see us, whether we understand it or know it or not, they see Christ. They see Christ. See? And our lives can bring such praise, such honor, such glory to God. Joe and I talked about this in so many different ways. Like Romans 12:1 says that our lives can be a living sacrifice. We just live our lives as a testimony to the goodness of God. Speaking in tongues? Absolutely. Praise to God? Absolutely. Worship to God? Dance. You know, Al Segovia, I haven't seen him do this in a long time, but in years gone by, he's a great dancer. He loved to dance. Am I right, Al? Absolutely right. Now, I haven't seen Al dance in a long time. I'm sure he's still got the steps. He still got it, right? Does he dance? Huh? He still does? See? His secret life is really coming out. But that's what a great way to just offer thanksgiving and praise to God, you know, because God sees our heart. It's not something that's forced. It's not something that, you know, we have to act out. It's just something that naturally flows out of us. And it's kind of like I think about the fruit of the Spirit. You know, Ken Petty used to say, it's not like beating a baseball bat against a tree and you're going to produce. We get into the presence of God. You know what? Our response is just to love him and to praise him and to just thank him for being him. Not that we even necessarily want something from him. We just want to thank him because we're unworthy to get what we've already gotten from him. Well, anyway, in verse 26, it said, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. Not just Paul and Silas, right? Talk about the grace of God. Everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and he would have committed suicide. Camille killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, hey, don't hurt yourself. We're here. We're all here. And he called in for a light, sprang in, came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and said, oh my gosh, can you believe what this guy said? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? They praise, they sing, God performs, and people respond. Absolutely incredible. And sure, why not, right? Absolutely. Why not? What verse are we in? What must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that thou be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all there was in his house. And they took him the same hour of the night and cleaned him up and did whatever they needed to do. He was baptized, he and all his straight away. Being baptized means they were fully immersed in the power of the Spirit. And it doesn't say it right here, but I can almost guarantee you that they got the Spirit of God and they manifested the Spirit of God by speaking in tongues. That's what the baptism in the Holy Spirit is. It's not a separate act that happens after you're born again. You receive the Spirit. You're baptized. You've got the ability. You've got the power. You move your lips, your throat, your tongue. You speak in tongues. And it's the proof positive in the senses world that you're born again. Do you have to speak in tongues to be born again? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. There are wonderful millions of believers who have never spoken in tongues. Are they still Christians? Absolutely. But the potential for them to manifest the Spirit of God is certainly there. And, you know, there's a lot of different philosophies. I was just talking to somebody the other day, George, I think he said, someone told me he believes the speaking in tongues died with the apostles. See, some people say it's from the devil. But here we are, a room full of people who speak in tongues. We've understood the benefits of what speaking in tongues does bring into a person's life. It's perfect praise. It's speaking in a language that God understands. See, we may not, but how the enemy will try to stop, get you distracted, get you worried, get you full of fear, get you all ticked off about your work, yourself, your whatever. You know, the devil really, in the very beginning, you know what he wanted? Worship. He wanted the focus to be on him. So you know what? Focus on self is really the end result of being really deceived by the enemy. Hey, you know what? We've all been there. Okay, so what? Welcome to the club. But let's take the opportunity right now to say, okay, devil, go back to wherever you came from. You have no rights over me whatsoever, and I walk in the victory that I have been given through my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then we just move forward. We just move forward, like Paul and these guys all move forward. They got their deliverance, God worked, they got set free, and things happened. Absolutely incredible, guys. It's so beautiful. Let's look in Acts chapter 2. Praise is always right. Praise and thanksgiving is always the right thing to do. Always the right thing to do. We can always do it. See? If you don't think you're doing it right or you don't know how to do it right, then talk to somebody else who, you know, maybe has a better idea, or go to the Word and see what God has to say about it. I mean, David wrote a lot of things about praise. Did David speak in tongues? No. No, David didn't speak in tongues. No one spoke in tongues until the day of Pentecost. Was it available to praise before Pentecost? Well, it had to have been, right? It had to have been. But now we even have a greater reality than even those believers who lived up to that point in time, and even Jesus himself had. Because we have the Spirit of God in Christ born within us. Born within us. Can't lose it. You say every bad word in the book. You do every bad behavior known to mankind. It has nothing to do with your keeping the Spirit or not. I want to show you something really interesting that happened on the day of Pentecost. Pentecost was a really, obviously, a very exciting, very dynamic time. The birthday of the church, the giving, outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, which in Judaism was a very significant time. It was a celebration of a feast. A lot of you guys know these historical things, okay? But what ended up happening is a lot of people believed. In verse 41, it says, "And they that gladly received his word, again, were baptized." That means fully immersed. They were fully immersed. They were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about what? 3,000 souls. That's quite a day. That was quite a powerful thing, right? You know, you don't have to be water baptized to be saved. Can you be water baptized? Absolutely. Like I said, millions of people have been water baptized. And in some of those cases, it's been very, very significant to them. You know, down with the old, up with the new, and all these things. But theoretically, I mean, not theoretically, but according to the Bible, it is not mandatory to be water baptized to be saved. and I think there are countless records throughout the Word of God that show that to be an absolute truth, which we're not going to teach here right now. But the reality is all these folks got baptized. They got fully immersed in believing all that Jesus did on their behalf. And you know what I think they did, probably did? They all spoke in tongues. 3,000 people on one time. In verse 42, and these are the things that happened, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear, awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and many signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and they had all things common. And they sold their, what? They sold their possessions. What about me, 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 me? What if I need? You know, so there was a different mentality. It really was. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, and the Lord praising God. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord did what? Added to the church. Maybe a huge key in seeing addition to the body of Christ and to the church is by getting the priority straight that number one is God. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added daily to the church. I think if we're on a mission to praise God, then he will bring the fruit. First and foremost, God. We love you, God. We love the Lord Jesus Christ. He is everything. And we offer ourselves on the altar, let's say, of sacrifice. In Hebrews it says, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. I mean, there's something really, really big in it. I can't, even with all my excitement, today. I can't begin to really tell you how important it really is. You know, Dr. Werwell once said if we really knew how important speaking in tongues was, we do it all the time. It melts the heart of God. It's speaking in divine languages. So, hey, if nothing else you walk away with tonight is praise God. Like this verse here says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Everything. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. You can never go wrong praising God. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, I had a definition. Where did that little paper go that I had around here?
Did you just write it down?
Oh, yeah. Thank you, George. Anyway, I love these little acronyms, you know, like P-R-A-I-S-E. And so I came up with this little kind of a corny definition, but I think it's kind of cool. So the word praise, it's a proper response always in situations everywhere. Okay? It's the proper response in every situation. How about 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? Pray without ceasing. Rejoice in everything. In everything give thanks, right? For this is the will of God in Christ. We thank God we have cancer. No, we don't thank God we have cancer. But what can I do in that circumstance? I can thank God for his deliverance. I can thank God that expectation of deliverance is coming. I can continue to praise God. What do you think we're going to be doing in eternity? We're going to be praising God, glorifying God. Start now. Start now. It's just going to continue on. The party's just going to keep going. You know, so let's just enjoy the presence of God now. It is the proper response, always, in situations, everywhere. Amen? Okay, can we all say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord! Heavenly Father, thank you for the joy and privilege of being able to share these words of encouragement, exhortation, and Father, may our lives just testify again to your goodness, your greatness, your love and care for us, Father, and may we live out the days of our lives with great expectation to see your hand of blessing in everything that we do. And we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.